Amen. Praise the Lord. Have you ever heard this before? To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow that star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for that heavenly cause. And I know, if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this, that one man, scorned and covered with scars, still strive with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable star. We love great adventures and quests that seem impossible. Sir Edmund Hillary and the climb of Mount Everest, Neil Armstrong and his lunar expedition, or even Joey Chestnut and his quest to conquer the elementary limits of mankind. We love great quests. Today, I want us to look at what I believe the Lord says is your greatest quest. The daily quest to live by faith. In Matthew's gospel, we see the Mount Everest of challenges. It doesn't require great physical endurance, but it requires a lifelong fellowship and faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as your Master and your God. And it's a daily quest. Jesus says in Matthew 5, beginning in verse 25, that paragraph reads, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles, the unbelievers, seek after these type of things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But the quest, But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Today, I want us to look what I believe Jesus teaches us about the heart's greatest adventure. Not something off in the future, but right now. How you live your life as a follower of Christ right now. And perhaps you're here today and you're still a seeker. You're still trying to figure out life and what's it all about, and is there a God, and does he know you, and does he care about you? Does he have a plan for your life? Hear the word of the Lord today. Don't just come and hear one preacher versus another philosopher versus some commentator. Come to the word today and search it for yourself. Now, what's the necessary context? Remember, all texts are in a context, and the context gives us meaning. Jesus is referring to the Pharisees and Sadducees, which are the religious leaders of their day in the Jewish community. And these people stood out clearly in a crowd by how they appeared physically and the people they associated with and the places that of privilege they were allowed. They loved to dress in the finest, most expensive garments that culture had. Sometimes their prayer cloths, you think about a humble prayer cloth, theirs would be interlaced with golden thread. And when they walked through the crowd, people would part because of their importance. They were teachers of the law. They ate only the finest food. And Jesus looked at them, and it began to color their teaching. They began to teach a false gospel that continues to this day, that somehow wealth indicates righteousness with God. That is, the more righteous a person is with God, the more he blesses them with physical goods. He gives them the finest of this world's goods. They have the finest food, the finest drink. They have the finest chariots and the homes and the clothes that they wear. And that was false. That was not true. There is no direct correlation between amassing great wealth and walking well with God. And yet that was what they taught. Now, wealth and want have something in common. The wealthy seek after material possessions to have more and more and more. That desire, that craving is never satisfied. It wants the finest, and then it wants gold plated on top of that. And then it wants more. The wanting want material possessions, and they long for material possessions too. But they long just to have enough. But both forget the greater quest in life, the life of faith in Christ, to walk with God. Listen, I've known some of the finest Christian godly men and women who were also the wealthiest people I knew. And I have known some of the wealthiest people that I have run across, and they were scoundrels. They were anxious people. They were not real. They were guarded and worried. They traveled around as if their last penny was going to be stolen from them. And I have met some of the most godly poor people. They didn't have two nickels to rub together in their jean pocket. I remember going to a mission trip in Belize when I was a youth minister and a young minister in Brandon, Mississippi. We went down there, and I mean, it is in the jungles of Belize, and those people, the native Belizeans, are beautiful people. They're very dark-skinned people, dark-skinned. And they have straight hair, not a wave, not a curl, and it is jet black. And they are the most generous people. And we were in a UN refugee camp, 10,000 people living on dirt floors, and they had cobbled together. There was no United Nations, this was back in the 80s. There was no tents, but there was organization. There were like dirt roads and trucks of people. Just the people that lived there had guns, and it was like the local police, and they just drove through there, and the huts were just cobbled pieces of wood, and they would build their round huts, and then they'd have a thatch roof, and they'd have a hole in the middle of the roof right at the apex. And when you walked in, there was a fire pit right in the center. And that was, it was just an open, round tent, hut. And they slept there in hammocks, and they cooked their food there. And the dogs came in and out. And the hut roof was lined in black soot. I'm thinking a spark is going to light this thing into a Roman candle. And that's how they lived. And we were there ministering to these people. And this elderly lady, she was a thin, wiry, her skin was just draped on her. This dark, leathery skin, like she had lived outside her whole life. And she was, she was just, it was like there's way too much skin for this tiny petite frame. And she was in this beautiful, simple cotton dress. It had every color of the rainbow. They love color in that world. Their houses have colorful paper mache drapes. They're just draped, little streamers everywhere. They don't have much, but it's a party waiting to happen when you walk in these little huts. And this lady stopped us from leaving. She flagged us down. And our interpreter says she wants to give you something. So we all got out, our little team got out. And this lady, there in that mild tropic temperature, hibiscus that we put in a little plant and have to cover up in the wintertime to keep from killing it. It grew in 10-foot hedges all over the place. Beautiful, beautiful blooms of hibiscus of every pastel color you could imagine, an orange and rich red. And she went to her yard that was meticulously swept. And she began cutting flowers, stems of hibiscus flowers, and each gave us each a beautiful flower. You know why she did that? Because she was wealthy in hibiscus beauty and wanted to share it with us poor foreigners that knew no hibiscus beauty in our backyards. She was wealthy and had not a dime to her name. And sadly, I have met poor people who were as selfish and greedy and mean-spirited, and they just wanted everyone else to be as miserable as they are. You see, money and faith have no direct correlation. One can't make you, and one can't take you. You choose to walk with God on your own. And that is the quest of the soul our Lord is calling us to today. The wasted quest of life. He says so many are sidetracked with worry over possessions. Literally there in verse 25 when it says don't be anxious about your life, it's saying don't be sidetracked by such things. You are losing your life. You are squandering it. You are losing it. The precious gift God has given you, worry takes away. And what is that gift? Time. It is limited and it is precious. And every moment you spend worrying about if God will provide you enough, you are squandering your life. You are missing the opportunities. Jesus says here, worry is unnecessary. It's unnecessary. He said, don't you know that there is a life greater than this life? One of my favorite little sayings is there's more to living, there's more to life than living and dying. There's more to life than living and dying. And where will you eat? And what's on sale? And can we get a bigger house? And what's the next car model coming out? I wonder if we should buy low and sell high. Our life can be consumed with possessive things as if somehow we are master of that. Do you not know that life is greater than goods? First of all, worry over possessions and material things of this life is unworthy of the soul that you are created by God. He's created you for greatness. He's created you to walk in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's created you to live in a realm that never ends. It's unworthy for us to quibble over things that moths eat and rust will decay and the fire will quench. Shows a lack of faith. Jesus says in verse 32, don't you know that's how the Gentiles live? That's how the unbelievers live. That's all they have. They have no faith. All they have are goods and possessions and houses and where they rank in society. That's all they have. If God has given you great gifts, use it greatly for the glory of God. It's all His. Don't be ashamed that God has given you great things. He has entrusted you with that great wealth. Use it for His glory. Don't apologize for it. Thank God for it. Friend, if He's not given you more than you think you need, pray and ask Him. He'll provide it. He'll provide what you need when you need it. Not a moment before, and praise God, not a moment after. He will provide. Jesus said, don't you see the birds of the air? Every morning at about 4:50, 5:15, the birds start singing in the dark all over around the pastorium. The pastorium's surrounded on two sides by woods. I mean, it literally comes right up to the pastorium. And you can hear them over Fox and Friends. I mean, it is like a symphony. You know what? They know the sun is about to arrive and breakfast is coming. And they start singing. I decided to bring y'all a plant today. Jesus said, you know, the lilies of the field, the grass of the field. Look at it. Doesn't it look so worried? You know, we've got these type plants. Terry loves plants. I love to make money so she can go buy plants. She plants them and we get 3 and 4 different kind of potting soils and all kind of fancy plants and pots. And we've never had to go outside to any of our plants and counsel them down from the edge of the cliff because they were so anxious that day. They don't care. They live. They bloom in all of their glory, and then they die. Not one anxious moment. I have to spend special treatment on these crazy plants that will grow up in the cracks of the asphalt driveway. I mean, how worried are they about, man, is there going to be enough rain? Is there going to be enough soil for me to grow? The thing grows right out of asphalt. Jesus said, what you worried about? It's unworthy of a man of God. It's unworthy of a lady of God. Don't you know? I take care of all of that stuff. The wasted quest of life also does one of the craziest things. The mind can do some crazy things. It begins to stockpile problems that have not even happened. Jesus said in verse 34, why in the world are you supplementing today's troubles with tomorrow's problems? Today's got enough problems for you to walk by faith. You don't need to look for tomorrow. Sufficient is the day. You got enough to say grace over. Why don't you start having faith today and stop the worrying? This anxiety is not becoming to you and it's going to kill you and it keeps you sidetracked from living the life of faith I created you for. Man, you've got an adventure of missions to do. You've got things to do, people to love, people to encourage, people to enjoy, a walk with God to praise and worship today. Why are you squandering it? And then on top of that, weighing yourself down with things that haven't even happened. When I was a child, my mom and dad would have guests over during the day. We'd have a big family outing, barbecue. They were having such a good time. They had sent us out to play. And we had done all that we knew to do. And we were bored. So we'd go inside and mom and dad and my aunts and uncles and all that, they were having the time of their life inside. And they didn't want us in there. They wanted us outside and playing. Go throw the ball, go play army, go get on your bicycles, go do something. Dinner will be ready in about 2 hours. We come in there. And we start complaining about something. Well, we don't have this, and we don't have that. I don't know why we're doing this. And I'll never get my dad. He didn't have to say this very often. But he'd say, son, you don't get your little butt back outside, I'll give you something to worry about. I knew exactly what that meant. Worry is so unprofitable. Today, I want us to remember, you've got a limited amount of time. Tomorrow may not even come, so don't even worry about tomorrow's problems. You're not even guaranteed tomorrow. Why don't you walk by faith today? God's in control of tomorrow. We always say, oh, I know it'll all work out, but stop. Stop. If you believe it's all going to work out tomorrow, then have faith that it's all going to work out today. And walk by faith. Start enjoying your life. Start giving yourself away. Start testifying of the goodness of God. Start telling of the hope that there is in Christ Jesus. The world is dark enough. If it's not been proved yesterday, it's been proved. We need the light. Jesus said, there's a worthy quest. Number one, here's how you do it. The reign of God. Seek the reign of God in every area of your life. He rules, He reigns, His word, His laws govern me. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, you just need to pray, Lord, today I want to live the life of faith, the great quest of life. I want, Lord, your word to rule over all of my life, and all means all. I want, Lord, you to rule. I want you to govern my choices. I want your purposes, your great mission, the law of love, to motivate and inspire my actions today. I want your goals, O Lord, to be my challenging goals. Take the gospel to all nations. That goal is yet to be met, but we're getting closer. Pray for your enemies. What a challenging goal. Love your enemies. I want your great quest to be my quest. I want to be able to say no to the devil. I want to be able to flee from youthful lust. I want to be able to conquer the greed that tries to take over my life by yielding to your reign. It is not me trying, it's me trusting you and simply obeying. I will come to the fork in the road, and I will take the narrow way, the way of the cross. Every fork, every choice. Now, the popular group may go that way, but you've said to disobey you leads to destruction. I will choose the narrow way. There is hope, life, and faith. Does the reign of Almighty God rule every area of your life, your finances, your mental state, the people you relate to closely, where you go and what you do when you get there? Does His laws govern you? Secondly, the worthy quest says, Lord, I want your righteousness, the righteousness of God. I want it expressed in every area of my life. I want my relationships in my public life, my relationships with my friends, my relationships with my neighbors, I want them to see the holy, pure, loving integrity of character, the character of Christ. I want his gentleness to be my gentleness. I want his courage to be my courage. The courage that would lay himself down on a cross and be crucified there. The type of courage that is willing to stand for the truth, even if it means to speak it against power. I want a self-control. I want a righteousness of God. I want to be slow to anger and slow to speak and quick to listen with the ears of Christ and the heart of faith. The great quest I want, I seek, I thirst for, the righteousness of God. It can only be received as a gift. It's not a to-do list. It's not you leaving here saying, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to climb that mountain. My friend, more than anything, you need to rest in the Lord and then act in the Lord. Many of us, it's not that we need to do more of this. We just need to do less of that. And yield ourselves, submit ourselves, yield ourselves to the work of the Spirit and say yes to the Lord, yes to the Lord. So oftentimes we Baptists have been criticized for just say no, yay no. Let me tell you something. There is a place to say no to wrong. But that is only step one, and it doesn't get you very far. So you're out of the ditch, but you're still not walking with God. Say yes. Say yes to the life of faith and hope and love. Lord, not only my public life, but my private life. When no one's there. When it's just me and the internet. When it's just me and my thoughts. Lord, would your righteous thought purify my mind and cause me to hunger like a man needing one last piece of bread for the purity and the beauty, the unmatched beauty of the Christian life. And the third part of this is very simple. It's just putting out your hand. Many of us have been grabbing and grabbing and trying, and you're holding on, and you're trying to manipulate and turn and twist and find. There's no excuse for laziness. There's no excuse for not doing your homework and doing your homework. I'm not talking about doing basic life skills. God's given you a brain, use it. But folks, this idea when you step over and you think then you are in control because you know 2 + 2 = 4, If life hasn't given you the lesson that you're not in control yet, it's coming. Believe me, I've got that message. I got that message. Let one little nerve from your ear to your brain get inflamed. Baby, you're not in control of nothing. How did that happen, Doc? We don't know. What do you do for it? Sit still and look forward. And then what? It'll probably pass in about a week or two. Thanks. You're not in control, but God is. He said, I'll take care of everything you need. God has provided everything I've ever needed. It's the royal resources that you expect to meet whatever need you have. He says all these things, the ample necessities of life will be yours, your food, your clothes, your drink. But let me tell you something, it gets better than that. Because our loving Lord Jesus Christ loves you so much, He wants you to experience every riches in Christ Jesus, the greater gifts of life that money and clothes and food cannot compare. He gives us not only ample, but the Bible says, I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He's come to give you abundant life. But it's not this stuff. It's the true riches that money cannot buy. Peace in your heart with your fellow man, but most of all with God. Love that transcends goosebumps and is the choice of a lifestyle, a joy, and it goes on and on and on. The great tragedy is having the wrong quest, the wasted quest. Thomas Merton said, how tragic that people may spend their whole lives climbing the ladder of success, only to find once they reach the top that the ladder was leaning against the wrong wall the whole time. Friend, that must not be us. Worry is replaced with contentment when you seek first the reign of God and the righteousness of God, and you rest in the ample and abundant resources from God. Today, if you're worried about tomorrow, if your life has been sidetracked by an obsession with possession, and you've not walked with God in heavenly places recently, put your worry next to the Word of God and see which one wins. Today, I challenge you and I challenge myself. When it comes, and it will come, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Dear friend, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, our mighty God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you have your way. Father, for those who have yet to give their life to Christ, I pray that they would come. I pray, Lord, that today you would call out those who need to submit their life and to repent of their sins like we all have and we all need to. And that they would turn to you in faith and at once be born again by receiving your saving grace that washes the soul white as snow. And that, Lord, you will walk with them and you will call them and you will equip them as day by day they trust in you. Father, I pray that today you would give us hope. You would help us today leave as men and women and boys and girls of faith to trust you above all else. Lord, whether someone needs a church home and you're calling them here today, we would gladly receive them. Maybe there's another decision, private or public. Father, have your way in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. And you come as the Lord leads you.